Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. This is the regular business meeting for Tuesday, September 23rd. The time is about 7:03 p.m. Ms. Smoot, will you call the roll, please?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cutaback, Rasmussen, Camp, and Gehring.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford, will you lead us in the pledge tonight?
Yes. Please rise.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Councilmember Hanford. Before I continue, Councilmember Ruth I was looking at Ruth on here. Councilmember Davis, let me know that he was stuck in traffic, so he'll be just a little bit late. The first item that we have on our agenda this evening is announcements and presentations. We have a presentation from the Monroe Arts Council. Ms. Saski. Thank you.
And what our goals are. So Alan Lane. The theme is to make happen. And our major goal for this year and the coming years is to have a Wagner Performing Arts Center. You see a photograph of the current building and artist's rendition of what the interior might look like. There are approximately 640 seats currently. And I'm not working again.
Hold it up just a little bit. Oh no, just hold that up a little bit.
In the past, we've held a number of events. One that was very successful for a number of years was called Art Graph. We had our concert band and our theatre group put on short plays and play music, and we had artwork auctions. We had a comedy group. We had an art walk. And our Monroe famous movie, Son of the Moon.
Yes.
It's been going for a long time. Mm-hmm. Our mission statement is to stimulate growth of visual literacy and the performing arts. Enhance the community through art in public places and preserve the historic legacy of Monroe. We promote and provide for the community in the Sky Valley and further afield by being involved with the following. We provide monetary and facility support for concerts by our 15-member community band known as the Monroe Concert Band. We provide monetary and facility support for professional theatrical plays by Sky Performing Arts that include actors of all age groups from our community. We stage various community events, including those involving the performing and visual arts. And we also provide scholarships to Monroe High School graduates who are attending college with a focus on the arts. we also do the following. Participate with other groups in Monroe, such as Monroe Chamber of Commerce, City of Monroe, and YMCA. We, in particular, we partner with the City Parks Department and the YMCA to present Movies Under the Moon. They're held four consecutive weeks during summer. So, summary of our fundraising, which is for the renovation of the auditorium. In 2012, the MAC signed a use agreement with the Monroe School District for use and renovation of the auditorium. The main philosophy of the agreement is that whatever funds the MAC can raise, those funds are put into the renovation and upkeep of the auditorium. MAC has invested monies in early planning this project with the view that the facility would provide a venue for community and school events that would contribute to the cultural environment and enhancement of the city of Monroe and surrounding areas. We felt that the auditorium, if it was made available for rental by various and widely different entertainments, that this would serve to entice residents in the Sky Valley and beyond to come to Monroe to enjoy an event and experience the many facilities that Monroe has to offer. The artist's rendition of what the outside may look like, but we're mainly focused on the interior at this time. So it's a little difficult to see, but this is a sketch for our first project, which is the renovation of the lobby and the bathroom area at the front or at the entrance. We plan on expanding the lobby and have usable female bathrooms on each side. Those bathrooms are currently one each and unusable. By help from members of the Monroe Lions Club, that helped the MAC to focus on how this project might proceed and provided sketches like this one of how this area might be changed. With this valuable information in hand, we sought quotes from architects to do drawings, another rendition of what the interior might look like. So we chose Van Gommelen, who has been preparing drawings as part of our application package to the city. Volunteering to show you what we have achieved so far. Well, the formal part of the renovation, which is interior structural items, we've been working on the enhancement of the interior and with the assistance of the Concert Band, Sky Performing Arts, Lions Club, Rotary Club and Walmart have helped us achieve repainting the lobby and the hallway, exit signs, paint the back wall and the stage and the floor, repurpose for a changing room, show some of our folks who are helping. We felt the facelift of the interior initially would be a big help. Before and after of the current lobby. work on removing the pit cap so that we can have an orchestra pit, mainly for the current show of Hello Dolly. There's a lot of cleaning and repainting to make this look better. The way this works enhance the look and feel of the auditorium as a whole and made it a desirable rental facility for the Sky Valley community. Thank you for your time and attention.
Thank you very much, Ms. Askey. Council, do you have any questions or comments? Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you for coming tonight and showing the presentation. I think arts is an important part of our community, so I appreciate all the volunteer work that people do to put in, you know, to make it better. How much have you spent so far on the renovation, and do you have any approximate total for a budget?
The budget for the bathroom, I believe, is about $500,000. Mm-hmm. The main value of the work that's been done so far has been volunteer hours. So we've bought materials. So the amount of dollars spent so far has been limited. It's body power that we need.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you very much for all
thank
the.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you very much for all the work that you're doing there. I've been able to help out with the auditorium, and I was there for taking the floor off of the the lid off of the orchestra pit, and that it was really cool seeing all that opportunity down there for live music in front of the stage. So, thank you for all the hard work.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, the next item that we have on the agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. There is a sign-in sheet or sign-in sheets out at the front, and I do have a stack of them this evening. Please note that we limit the testimony or the public comment to 5 minutes per speaker. The time will start right after you give your introduction. That would be your name and your address, either your business here in town or where you live. And due to a significant number of sheets here, we're going to be looking very closely at the 5 minutes. So what I'll do is I'll give you a warning at 4:50, and then your comments will need to be done at 5 minutes. Okay? Understood? Yes. Okay. We're going to start off. The first person who has put their name down to speak is Mitch Ruth.
Hi, my name is Mitch Ruth. My address is 14405 Autumns Avenue Southeast in Monroe. I'm here tonight to speak to you about Councilmembers Guerin and Camp's intent to rescind the council's action of last week and continue using taxpayer money to fund the appeals for a private real estate investor that has failed in their rezone application. I'm not here to speak to the merits of the rezone or the public's concern about friendships or political alliances that appear to be inappropriately influencing council's decisions on the matter. What I am here to speak about is the unprecedented and wholly inappropriate use of taxpayer money to fund speculative real estate investments of private citizens. To be crystal clear, the applicant purchased the property with the intent to have it rezoned and resell at least a portion of the property for a profit. That, in and of itself, is normal real estate business, but that's where normal business ends and the insanity begins. Nowhere in the history of the City of Monroe is there any precedence for how this matter has been handled. Never before has any mayor directed staff to take on the responsibility of performing studies for an applicant. Never before has the city funded application costs of real estate investments of private property. Never before has the city gone to such extreme measures as to push a rezone through that they've changed the city's comprehensive plan to label the property as a gateway, targeting it for economic development, which effectively compels the rezone of the land. Never before has the city taken on the legal cost of defending an appeal in lieu of the applicant doing so. Never before has there been such special treatment and precedent that will likely create huge liability and require additional funding of future applications for others. I've already had my clients asking me how to submit for refunds on fees they've paid the city. They also want to know what the criteria for the city taking on the funding of their future projects will be. It's argued by some council members that they were only defending the actions and rulings of the council. No matter how creatively the words are twisted, and no matter how much money is spent on attorneys to find loopholes in the laws, people see this for what it is. This has cost the taxpayers over $120,000 in recent legal fees alone. This has also cost the city over $150,000 in a lawsuit settlement directly related to this matter years ago. I think most of us remember the Ethics Ordinance and Freedom of Information Act lawsuit. The city legal fees then were over $75,000. If we review the council tapes for the meeting right after the settlement, we'll hear Council Gehring asking Ms. Mecklen to give the money back to the city because the city needed the money for other things. I wonder, is this what the money was needed for? Staff time already invested has been estimated to exceed $100,000. Credible estimates of future costs of legal fees and staff time to prepare for this next appeal may also run up to $100,000 by requiring a full-time planner to prepare for it. All with every reason to believe that this will fail again. Where does it end? When do we stop the bleeding? I'd like to know, how does one justify this time and expense when there's such a backlog of fully paid applications waiting? How can you ask taxpayers to approve higher sales tax when one could easily argue the city has more money than it already needs? Apparently so, because it can afford to pay this kind of money for private investors. How does one justify even having the discussion to consider raising property taxes for the 2015 budget, only to turn around and spend that money on non-city matters like more legal costs and studies for private investors? Isn't that the definition of tax and spend? Isn't that what a bailout is? I don't think this is what being a fiscal conservative means. I'm a professional real estate broker. I've represented many of the projects and developments in and around Monroe. People who speculate in real estate can make considerable profit if they invest wisely. They can also lose money if they make poor decisions. Either way, there is always risk and a cost of doing business. Those costs include hiring consultants, performing studies, legal fees, and sometimes,
Mr. Ruth, you have 10 seconds.
More than one appeal. Regardless of one's opinion as the merit of the rezone, if the applicant wishes to appeal, they have every right to do so at their own expense. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person that we have on signed up to speak is Douglas. I don't know if that's Mr. Douglas or Douglas. Oh, Mr. Hamer.
I didn't put the last name on there. Huh?
No, sir.
Sorry. Well, thanks for having me back. I'll try to keep it under 5 minutes.
And before you begin, could ask that, because I'm going to need to call the next person, if you could please not applaud after the person presents, I'd appreciate it. I want to be able to pull the next person up. We do have a number of people who have listed here, okay? Thank you.
I'm Douglas Hamer, and I live at 21122 Calhoun Road. 4 years and two inadequate environmental impact statements ago, we, the opposition to the East Monroe rezone, had the conviction that a shopping center on this property was exactly the wrong prescription for Monroe's already struggling and underutilized retail areas. We had the conviction that a shopping center on this property, considering the myriad of environmental and access constraints, was an almost certain disaster in the making. We had the conviction that a shopping center on this property would forever destroy the beautiful aesthetic of this farming valley, which all of us believe is a much greater asset to the city of Monroe than would be yet another shopping center. We also had the faith that any fact-based examination of the rezone beyond the influence of those advocating it in the city's administration would find our reasoning more compelling than the city's. Twice now, that has proven to be the case. In 2012, the first EIS, prepared by and at the expense of the city, failed by ignoring the facts and the reality on the ground, arguing that just changing the color of the map has no impact. The second EIS, prepared by Pace, made a very impressive attempt at disguising the facts and the reality on the ground by pretending a virtually equivalent development already exists on the property. So again, no significant impact, because the impacts have already occurred. I mean, if there is a 500-member church, a Gold's Gym, and a daycare center on the property with 1,600 cars a day coming and going, how would a big box store with 5,200 vehicles a day coming and going from this same property be all that much different? So really, a rezone would have no significant impact on the flow of the traffic along this stretch of US 2. Right. I don't really understand why anybody is surprised that a second EIS, this second EIS, also failed under outside scrutiny. And I'm thinking you have pretty much run out of options for ignoring the facts and the reality on the ground in a third EIS. Those nasty little inconvenient facts will just keep rising to the surface. So while you may see yourselves as close to the finish line as you characterized your position last week, you really are no closer than you ever were, because you cannot even approach the finish line without taking the facts and the reality on the ground into account. But unfortunately, for this rezone proposal, none of the facts, not one, supports commercial development on this point bar of an old oxbow still connected to a frequently flooding river system right below a massive, unstable slope. The suggestion that legal action, either by the city against the Growth Management Board or against the city by the property owner for not pursuing the rezone further, will accomplish anything other than waste more of everybody's time and money is a delusion born of desperation. No one can argue that the city has not done everything in its power and then some to get this rezone passed. My personal perspective is that the city not only went out of its way, but it completely lost its way in trying to finesse this thing through. Mr. Gary, I may have misunderstood you last week, but it seemed to me you were arguing that the legal process mandated by the state that allowed a group of concerned citizens to spend 4 years exhausting every appeal available to stop the city from shooting itself in the foot resulted in a tragic miscarriage of justice and set a bad precedent for every other municipality. I think the court's response to that would be, this is a textbook example of why this multi-stage appeal process is necessary. Finally, I have been arguing this for 4 years now, suggesting it anyway. I personally believe this property has tremendous potential for benefiting the city of Monroe as a walkable wildlife refuge, accessible through Borland Park, which would draw the many nature enthusiasts that traverse Highway 2 into Old Town Monroe. And I am confident there are many organizations, corporations, and individuals that would be willing to assist in making that happen if they were marshaled to do so, to benefit of all, including the current property owners. The real tragedy here would have been a shopping center on this property, or simply forcing it to sit idle for years as a color on a map. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
The next person that we have on the agenda is Bob Martin, and after you give your name and address, give me a moment to make certain that the clock actually is working.
Sorry, I didn't understand the last thing.
Oh, said. Wait until I say go, but go ahead and introduce yourself. I just want to make certain this thing's working.
Sure. I'm Bob Martin. I live at 103 Road, Mott East in Monroe.
Okay, let's see. Just a second.
I'm not going to repeat.
I'm going to go ahead and use this clock right now. Let the record show that Councilmember Davis has entered the room. Go ahead and speak, sir. Thank you.
I'm not going to repeat what Mr. Ruth and Mr. Hammer said. I agree with all of their arguments. I just want to say that I think it's a colossal waste of the city's resources to continue to pursue this matter. I just think that even if the proposal goes through, in my opinion, there's little chance that this property would be developed, in my lifetime anyway.
and to spend resources on something that I think is basically a waste of time, this just doesn't make any sense to me. So that's really all I have to say. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person that we have up is Gast. Mr. Gast.
Good evening.
Please state your name and address on the record. Thank you.
Ken Gast. I live on 21330 Calhoun Road. Again, good evening, council members and citizens. I want to thank you and all who serve here in this city. I have gathered here in these chambers every Friday evening until recently, praying for all of you who serve us. We continue as a group praying for you, but in a different location. We intercede for all those in our government and in high places who make decisions for us. We are also open to anyone joining us in prayer for this city and our nation. When we were here, there were times we stood behind the chairs that you are now seated in and prayed for God's wisdom to be with you as you make these decisions. Chad Minnick, Pastor Minnick's son, also sat in one of these chairs a few years ago. And because of his position and influence, they thought they could get this rezone passed, but it failed. He also lost his bid to get reelected in the next election. Then, as they rallied behind Mr. Zimmerman and hoping he would now go through with it, or that it would go through, failed even when they passed it in the 11th hour of his term. Our city has now spent over $120,000 plus on toll staff hours that have been dedicated to passing this rezone, and even terminating a sitting employee who disagreed with them. I think by now you would see that this is not part of God's plan, for if it was, it would have passed a long time ago. Someday it will most likely be rezoned, but I don't believe this is the right time. I believe this venture was a mistake and a bad investment, and they are hoping that its citizens will bail them out. We will continue to lift you up in prayer and bless each of you no matter what choice you make. But I hope you will seek God's wisdom before you make another decision regarding this rezone. God bless you all. Good evening.
Thank you.
The next person that we have is Marie Debeck.
My name is Marie Debeck. I reside at 350 South Madison Street. Mayor Thomas, council members, I was absolutely astounded when I read in the paper that there was going to be a movement to rescind the vote that was taken last meeting regarding the East Monroe rezone. The Growth Management Hearings Board gave their final decision. This should be a no-brainer, and the city should stop pursuing this. To pull city staff and resources and money from other projects to work on this when so much time and resources and money have already been spent is not right or reasonable, and in my opinion, it borders on unethical. I own a piece of undeveloped lakefront property in Mason County. If I were to want to develop this, I would pay for the environmental impact statement, I would pay for the shoreline management assessment, I would pay for all easements, anything that I needed to do, the burden is on me as the property owner. If I had to put in a well or a septic system, anything else that you do on that property is up to me. I would not expect the county or the taxpayers to foot the bill for me to develop my property. If the environmental impact survey or the local growth management board came back against what I wanted to do, then it would be up to me to appeal their findings or decisions and to pay for that also. Mr. Goring stated last week there's a cost to doing business in the city. You are correct. There is a cost of doing business in the city. I have a small business. I pay my City of Monroe business tax. I pay my state business tax to be licensed to do my business here in the city. But I cannot see why my taxes should pay for someone else to do business in the city. That's up to them. We are already paying more in local state sales tax to support the road repair money that the city is losing from the Cadman relocation. We will probably be paying some other kind of higher taxes due to the school mitigation fees due to the housing on West Main Street. You are close to taxing us out of Monroe. I notice in Mr. Goring's new list of options that the original option C, to comply with the final decision of the Growth Management Board, has been removed. In my opinion, this is the only thing that should happen morally, ethically, and legally with the East Monroe rezone. Mayor Thomas, council members that voted against this, I thank you for standing up for us taxpayers by voting to stop the East Monroe rezone. After spending well over $100,000 to pursue something that should never have been started in the first place, I find it staggering that some on the city council think that we, the taxpayers, should spend even more on something for which the property owners should be responsible. If those property owners want to appeal, that is their right, but they must fund the process. Please continue to support the city by not funding the private rezone and develop of privately owned land. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. The next person that I have on the agenda is Lowell Anderson. Mr. Anderson.
Good evening. Lowell Anderson, 129 East Rivermont Drive, longtime opponent of the rezone. Are we ready?
Yes, sir.
I'm in favor of option C that ends the rezone. Stop hemorrhaging money. I'm opposed to the proposed Goring Camp action to rescind last Tuesday's vote that the city doesn't intend to pursue the East Monroe rezone or associated comprehensive plan amendment. If the Goring Camp action is validated, then I have the following concerns with a supplementary environmental impact statement performed by Pace Engineering. Now I'm going to quote from the Growth Management. WAC 197-11-400, the purpose of an EIS. At 2, an EIS shall provide impartial discussion of significant environmental impacts and shall inform the decision makers and the public of reasonable alternatives, including mitigation measures that avoid or minimize adverse impacts or enhance environmental quality. They failed to do this. SEPA is to function as an environmental full disclosure law. SEPA is to provide agencies with environmental information prior to making decisions, not after they're made. For the FEIS to be adequate, the city must consider alternative designations, again, alternative designations for property and or alternative locations, think North Kelsey, locations within the city for additional general commercial development. They failed to do this. The board concurs with petitioner that the FEIS has failed to recognize and assess the impacts to ecological functions of waterways and wetlands by not providing a no-action alternative based in the existing conditions. They failed to do this. The board concurs with petitioner that the FEIS fails to provide decision makers with information on which to base their decision concerning flood and landslides. They failed to do this, and that's near and dear to my heart, the landslides. I could go on and on, but I only have 5 minutes. I think you get the picture. If the council rescinds option C and goes forward with option B, the city should request quotation from an alternative engineering firm. This would provide an unbiased study and would provide estimated cost for budgeted purposes. Will the city have to rob Peter to pay Paul for this action? I don't know. Why would the city reward Pace Engineering with a contract for a supplementary environmental impact statement based on their inadequate studies for the Growth Management Hearing Board? Remember, Pace Engineering was hired by the property owner, not on behalf of the city of Monroe. Therefore, they are an advocate for the property owners. This action by Goring/Camp will cost the city taxpayers, and we've already gone through this, approximately another $100,000 plus what you've already spent. With no development in sight, and push legitimate projects in the city behind. You may thank the Goring Camp, decision makers, stewards of the resource of this financial disaster. Will the church use their tax-exempt status if this has gone through? Will they be able to pay the property tax on this? I don't know. Let's not set up Rivermont Ridge and Calhoun Road property owners for another oh-so tragedy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next person that we have on the list is Steve Jensen. Mr. Jensen.
My name is Steve Jensen. I am a member of the Monroe City Planning Commission, but I'm not here as a member of that. I'm here as my own self, individual, private citizen, whatever. My address is 17041 155th Street Southeast, Monroe. In 1998, Disney proposed opening a Disney Quest in Philadelphia, a Disney Quest being a vertically packaged urban entertainment center that the company wanted to build a few dozen of in cities nationwide. In 2003, newspaper estimates said the project would end up costing taxpayers $44 million. Disney had also secured a $25 million tax break from the city. Hundreds of thousands of dollars additionally went to lawyers. Ultimately, in 2000, Disney dropped out and shuttered the one open Disney Quest in Chicago in 2001, just 2 years after it had opened. Today, the sites are parking lots. Six Flags Auto World opened on July 4, 1984 in Flint, Michigan. Crowds poured in, but the park was never open for more than six consecutive months. The park's first visitors told the newspapers the rides and things they had were all low-key. You could tell it just something that wasn't going to make it. They needed more thrill. And the park ended up closing 2 years later. A local foundation had to step in, paying $50 million so that the city, on the hook for the bonds, did not go bankrupt. Even in our own backyard, the Seattle Monorail Project started in 1997 through a number of votes from citizens. Then costs mounted and issues arose. Eventually the voters killed the idea, and in 2008 the Seattle Monorail Authority was formally dissolved. The Monorail Project ultimately cost Seattle taxpayers $124.7 million with nothing to show for it. So what do all these have to do with the issue here tonight? Each of these big boondoggles demonstrates a proposed project or idea with grand ideas for prosperity for the host cities. You ended up with nothing but a big tax bill. Oh yes, there was money to be made, all right. Some of the developers made out quite well. And certainly the lawyers hired by those cities to advise on all those projects also made out like bandits. But in each and every case, the cities themselves lost a great deal of money with nothing to show for it. So you have an issue here today, but I can't even call it a grand idea, because there isn't actually a developer or a project behind this action with something to do on the property. Yet you face the prospect of continuing to pour more money towards a project that this city doesn't necessarily want. The applicant sure stands to make a lot more money off the taxpayers. And the city's lawyers will certainly make money too. I heard yesterday that the applicant isn't going to put any money towards fixing their own EIS document. To me, that sounds like they're walking away. Well, if they're walking away, then the city has no reason to move forward. There was a comment made earlier tonight about the comp plan. And yes, I was there on the Planning Commission, saw some of the changes. Even I helped adjust some of them because we couldn't get the language quite right. The language for East Monroe does not, at least the last I saw it, does not say this property is a gateway. In fact, the language calls out that the potential roundabout west of this property that might be built by WSDOT for a bypass, that would be labeled as the potential gateway. Everything east of this was simply listed as a possible thing that could be done, nothing compelling. So if there's anybody has been telling you that you have to do this because the comp plan says you have to, actually take another look at that section in the comp plan. This particular piece of property was not written in there as a must-do. It was a possible option. So I find it odd that I'm still taken aback that, yes, a vote taken last week, it's like, so do we keep re-voting till a certain group gets their way? Can the mayor veto these things? I don't know what powers the mayor has. But I, for one, I'm like the rest. I just don't see the reason to keep spending money. Don't keep dumping good money after bad. It's time to cut the losses and run. Run as fast as we can. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person that we have that signed up is Katie Scarborough.
Good evening. My name is Kirk Scarborough. I'm at 127 Redmond Drive East, next to Will Anderson and Keith Vanderhauen. And I won't waste your time. I will only say that I can't say any more eloquently than the people who have already spoken about my displeasure with the continued attempt to rezone the East Monroe area. So whatever they've said, you can put me down for having those same feelings.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
And the next person that we have on listed is Jenny Blair. Did I get the name right?
Blair.
Is it Jerry Blair?
I'm Jim Blair, 15403 Calhoun Road, Monroe. Been there since 1952, meaning I probably lived there longer than most of you were born. Maybe not all of you. So I would like to, a simple show of hands by the council. How many of you have visited the site in question? Okay, Mr. Gearing, you raised your hand. Could the record show that Councilman, I just made you a congressman, Councilman Rasmussen, and Council female, they don't have one of those. Is
council members?
Yeah. Okay. And Councilman Gearing raised their hands in response to my question, for the record. So, Mr. Gearing, when you went out to visit the site, can you tell me, were you only there once, or were you there more than once?
And I need to interrupt. This is public comment, so it's your opportunity to share your thoughts. It's not a question and answer.
Oh, Mayor, this is so important. I'd like to know what Councilman Gearing saw when he went there. He can't do that?
No, sir. This is a public comment period, so
okay,
it's not...
Okay, all right, then. Okay. I have two comments in. Hiller West was a great planning department head, and he lost his job because of this issue, this rezone, because he didn't endorse it. And Jeff Sachs was hired here for $100,000 plus, and you did the right thing, Mayor, by getting rid of that position, which was invented for him. But the real reason it was invented was by the previous mayor, and it was to push this rezone through. So, yeah, that's all I want to say.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One more thing. I have 3 minutes left, so could people who want to applaud for anybody else have some time for that?
Okay. The next person that I have on the agenda is Shane Bradley. Shane Bradley.
Shane Bradley, 21104 Calhoun Road. Having previously owned a business, I understand that there are certain things that are paramount to running a successful business, and that's fiscal responsibility, physical, and maintaining that. And as city officials, you have responsibility to the citizens to not only have fiscal responsibility, but to provide and ensure that physical malfeasance does not occur under your watch. If the rezoning of this property is expected to produce enough revenue to counter what has been spent already, plus an additional $120,000 that you're looking at. If that's not the case, I would love to find out how that's not fiscal malfeasance. Additionally, it's my understanding that the reason that the city was able to provide this service to the private property owners is because the Monroe Code says that the city may conduct or may collect for the studies, not that they shall collect. I would also urge the council to change the code so that in the future, other people can't come to the council with the expectation that they should be paid for having the studies done by the council rather than themselves. Finally, the other thing, and I don't know how things work at a city level. I've only been up here for about a year and a half from Vancouver, Washington. But it strikes me as very interesting that the city is paying directly funds for what will amount to the enhancement of a religious organization. I don't know how separation of church and state works up here, but I'd love to find out if that is not an issue in this or not. Thank you very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person that I have is Colette Carpenter. Ms. Carpenter?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. Colette Carpenter, 17180 Sawyer Street. Every 2 years, Monroe City Council yard signs go up around our community. There's promises that that candidate is going to represent the community as a whole, all of us. To be trusted with the budget that we contribute to. I look at my utility bills, I look at my property tax, and I want to know that is going to represent us. I want to know that when I get a ballot measure for adding police, that it's earmarked, that's what it's going to go for, that's what it's going to be used for, and I vote yes. When I see a roads ballot, I want to see what it goes for, I want to see what it'll be used for, and I want to see fiscal responsibility, and I vote yes. So how do I vote to not pay for private bailout? This isn't Chevy. Come on. Not just because I'm a Mustang owner. Why is it then that the last couple of years, a few incumbents have made it their mission to financially assist a private landowner and friend with rezone fees, with funding supplied by us? When did we get to vote on this before we wrote our check every month? I missed that one. Am I mad? Yep, I'm mad. My voice shakes when I'm mad. Part of your job to represent us as a whole has been lost. Those of you voting to take this forward, persistence, usually a good trait, not so much right now. No means no. Please stop using my money, their money, everybody's money. It's easy to spend somebody else's money, but remember where it's coming from. If you vote to continue this mission to fund this private property matter, I, for one, will no longer consider you a representative of your community. Me included, I'm not speaking for anybody else, but I take it real, real serious when I fill in that bubble on my ballot. We elected you. Represent us. Adjust your loyalties back to your citizens. I'm not here as a Rotarian. Most of you know I'm a 14-year Rotarian. Let me share with you the words we use before actions, thoughts. Number one, is it the truth? Number two, is it fair to all concerned? Three, will it build goodwill and better friendships? Let's just strike that one tonight. Will it be beneficial to all concerned? I leave you with Rotary's four-way test.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next person we have on the agenda is Bill Davison. Mr. Davison.
My name is Bill Davison. I live at 611 West Main Street. 4 years now, you've debated the question of rezoning what is known as the Minnick property from open space to general commercial. After all that time and effort, several votes, several reversals on appeal, and an outpouring of opposition from citizens of Monroe, we arrive at yet another decision to vote tonight. 4 years ago, had the proponents of this rezone came before you and said, we propose to change the zoning on our property to general commercial as a speculation, as we have no willing buyer, and we would like the city to help us with the cost of this. We, the owners, estimate the city's cost to be no more than $250,000, depending on the number of appeals we have to do. What would you have said? Would you have said, we're with you? No. The answer would have been no. None of you would have bought into this originally had you known what the final cost would be. Yet today, that's exactly where we are. We're in it $250,000, give or take. The taxpayers of Monroe have no place to appeal except to you. In the future, we can only see more and more costs. Extending sewer and water to the site would be very expensive due to clay slopes between the property and town. Who would pay for that? Highway access is problematic, requiring approval by the State Highway Department, as well as widening Highway 2 and installing a left turn. Who would pay for that? What are the added costs of police and fire? Well, at least we know who would pay for them. And frankly, what about the human cost of accidents related to left turns off and on to Highway 2? Almost monthly, we see reports of injury or death due to inattentive drivers at the two Fern Bluff exits east of town. Why add another for a project that has no tenant? Sometimes our actions have unintended consequences. I think that has happened here. You did not want or foresee this, how it would play out. There is no shame in cutting our losses, for the bleeding of money is not yet over. But it could stop tonight. The choice of that is yours. The paper last week quoted one of your members, the council, as saying, we need to defend our actions. Why? Why do we need to defend an action that no one is in favor of? Is it testosterone or is it logic? Please reject this proposal.
Thank you. The last person that we have on the list right now is Sam Wershing. Mr. Wershing.
My name is Sam Wershing. I live at 15002 210th Avenue Southeast here in Monroe. So I didn't want to come and talk to you guys. I've been in front of you guys a couple times and I felt patronized. I felt like I wasn't really treated like an adult. I've generated more tax money into this city than any of you sitting down. I have a better business drawing more people into this town than any of you do. I'm on four different boards that serve the children, the women, the elderly, and the hungry in this town. So I get to talk to numerous people. And yet I still get this look of disdain. I've invited you to come down to talk to me, to have conversations after the whole North Kelsey fiasco, where we took what the citizens had come together and put down on paper and was changed because we were financially dire, because it was a tough time, because we needed to make tough choices in the face of real hard decisions. But now it's good. We've hired new police officers. We've increased the sales tax. I'm a bigger tax collector. Thank you. I love being a tax collector, said tongue in cheek. It's problematic when I feel like the people that are there to protect and serve you are there to patronize you, that I can't go to your churches and worship with you because I feel that you are lukewarm at best in the mouth. I'd rather spit you out than be a part of the witness that you have. I watch people that I know are humble servants and work hard turn against the people that they are supposed to be humbling serving and really ignore them. And I don't, like, I remember when we came and talked about the things in North Kelsey, like, I didn't want to sound like a pompous, arrogant person. You're not doing this, and I want to be one of those angry people. And when it became a matter of lawsuits and real money, that I walked away from it. You know, if you have to settle your differences with lawyers, if you have to settle your differences that way, then I don't want a part of that, because I feel like we're a small town, we're a small community, that this is really where the action happens, that we don't have to be one side of the aisle or the other, that we can really come together and do something. And that's what I want to ask you. What have you done that hasn't polarized the community? At what point have you done something where everybody comes together and goes, yes, we need that. We needed a champion. I remember that council, different people, but there was a council member that sat up there and said, we don't pick winners or losers. So you're spending my tax money on a private entity? You guys going to pay for my small business loan so I can buy the property that I'm at? Are you guys going to subsidize me when I've misspent my money in my store for my payroll and my staff? Are you going to pay my water bill for me because I need extra money? I mean, all these little pieces are small, but I'm watching this big thing happen, and I'm watching you do whatever you want to do without regard to any of these people that are sitting here testifying in front of you. I see you championing a cause that really has no merit. There's no value to it, and I don't understand, because I've talked to some of you individually. Some of you have actually come into my store and said, hey, you're loud and obnoxious. What's really behind you? Why are you really this way? Some people have really gotten to know me. And you know the salt that I'm from. And we can have agreements and disagreements, but you're at least willing to take it on. And some of you just cower away and run. And it's bothersome. It's really bothersome. Because I feel like it's childish. At what point do we have a real voice? I mean, should I just go back to my store and collect my taxes and mind my own business? Some people before me spoke far more eloquently than I could about the real nuts and bolts behind the idiocy and the insanity behind pushing this through on our behalfs when we don't want this. There's enough problems and other things that we could get behind and solve in this town, the downtown corridor being empty, North Kelsey not being completely developed, doing something with Al Borland Park and making it a place that's a destination and really revitalizing it. There's all these other things that we could be doing, things that have real merit, things that have real effect on the community that we're with. And instead, we're talking about this. And how many times have we come together to talk about this? And you're going to see it to the end? You're the champion of this? I feel like I'm talking to the Pharisees. I feel like I'm talking to a bunch of people that are out of touch with the people. I went to grad school for servant leadership, and in that, they tell you that to lead, you have to serve those underneath you. And they put Jesus as this example of it. I went to Gonzaga. It's a Jesuit school. There's a religious undertoning to it. But it's serious. Jesus was the ultimate in servant leadership, if we're going to go down that road. You know, and to have a church not act as a servant, and to have you not act as a servant to your people, but as a bully, is just, why bother talking to you if you're not going to listen? Because it really breaks my heart.
That is the last person that we had on the list. Are there any other members of the public that would like to come forward to speak on this or any other topic? Okay. So if you can just come in and make certain that I can see you.
I think he was first.
Yep. Oh, sorry. Ms. Martinson.
I'm Edie Martinson, 13780 195th Drive Southeast, Monroe. I have seen this issue from the inside and the outside. As a tax-paying citizen in Monroe, I am very, very concerned, because it has been so apparent that so many citizens are against this. We have budget issues. This is not the way to go forward. And I just don't see the sensibility of this at all. So many people have spoken against it. I have seen the machinations going on. from the inside. It's been a puzzle, and it's just bleeding the citizens. I'm a citizen, I'm a voter, and I'm very, very concerned at what I'm seeing, where this is getting all twisted around and rescinded. A good decision is being rescinded, and I think it's wrong.
Thank you.
Thank you. Karen?
I wasn't sure if there was anyone else.
Nope. You're next.
Hello, my name is Erin Angus-Snacka, and like Sam and a few others, I've spoken on this topic before also. I live at 421 South Lewis Street in Monroe. I wrote a letter to council yesterday, and I'd like to read some of that now into the record. My husband and I moved to Monroe in early 2010, which was already well into the East Monroe situation. Over the next few years, the police force was reduced, our property values went down, and a lot of road work was left undone. The schools were in survival mode, actually, because you know people didn't really want to spend the money, and they were feeling stressed out. Permitting became a really complicated process. I know one of the planners committed suicide, and there just seemed to be, well, different people were getting different results, and people weren't getting permits at all to do things on their homes. It just seemed like staff was really, really stretched, and there was a lack of clear leadership on things other than East Monroe. But still, the city had money to spend to advance the East Monroe rezone. Depending on who you talk to, it's either around $100,000 or hundreds of thousands when you include staff time. And now we are asked, well, I guess we're not really being asked, we're being told that we will once again continue pushing for this private land deal at taxpayer expense. I sat through earlier in the year the 2014 budget review, most of which I didn't really understand, but I could see that the city was, that it had expenses that it didn't have money for at that time. And regarding Walmart and Housing Hope and road repairs and little things here and there, and needed to hire some more police officers. I just don't believe that it's in the interest of Monroe taxpayers to, 5 minutes is a long time. I don't believe it's in the interest of Monroe taxpayers to spend our limited resources trying to set a legal precedent here in Superior Court. I personally don't agree with the precedent or the principle, but even if I did, this is really a high cost to pay. It's a lot of money for a small city. I do realize that it's been in the works for over a decade and that it probably seemed like a really great idea back in the 90s, but you know, we've all have goals from the 90s that didn't reach fruition. I know I certainly do. That's just life, and we've all had to make some adjustments. And it makes me a little bit sad, you know, that really more folks didn't come out tonight, and that I think that after this event, I mean, I certainly have been told many times, you know, this is Monroe, this is how things are done in Monroe. Anytime that I've tried to talk to my neighbors about politics, you know, they just look at me and pat me on the head like I'm an inexperienced young thing, and this is how the world works. You know, politicians are loyal to people that contribute to their campaign, and you know, what's good for General Motors is good for America. My father always used to say that. Necessarily always true, but often. I'm concerned that that after tonight, you know, if the church gets its way and the rezone goes forward, that it'll contribute to the feeling of apathy that I think a lot of people have in Monroe. They just kind of get frustrated, and this is how it's always been, and you know, they just sort of don't come to council and won't take an interest. That's all.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public that would like to come forward to speak? Yes, come on.
Diane Elliott, 15550 174th Avenue Southeast in Monroe. And I'm against spending any more of my money and any more of your neighbors and friends' money for this project. It's time to just cut the losses and go on. You know, what other projects are going to be eliminated if this one goes forth? How can some of you just look in your neighbors, look in their eyes, your neighbors and friends, and say, well, we're taking something away so we can continue to try to push through a rezone for when there's no return on investment? You know, what is the return on investment? There's nobody waiting to build there. There's nothing other than we're just going to put more money towards something for nothing. And again, it like Aaron was saying, it kind of causes an apathy. And then Monroe, just people wonder, well, why, you know, Main Street's just kind of nothing's happening there. Nothing really happens because why? Where's the enthusiasm? Where's something that's going to bring everybody together? We're just, everybody is just kind of polar opposites. There's nothing here to really bring the community together when the council, it's perceived that you're just going forth to help a friend and using our money to do it. So again, how can you look your neighbors in the eye and say, this is how I'm going to spend your money to help a friend? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, are there any other members of the public that would like to come forward to speak? Anybody at all? Okay, last call. All right. That ends our comments from citizens portion of our agenda. Thank you all for coming here tonight. The next item that we have on the agenda is the consent agenda. This is approval of minutes. Councilmember Gearing?
I'd like to pull the minutes if I could.
I'm sorry, say that
I'd
again.
I'd like to pull the minutes. Sorry.
Pull the minutes?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All we have is the minutes.
Very good.
Sorry.
Sure, I have the floor.
You have the floor, yes, sir.
Thank you. Liz, just I wanted to just make one adjustment. I will make a motion here in a second to approve it, just with a one quick amendment. And on page 3 of 6, under new business, with the discussion item that we were talking about, that most people have been speaking about, there is the last sentence says, Mayor Thomas read an email from Councilmember Davison. The record, it ends there. I'd like to add a sentence to that, and then I'll make a motion to that effect with this amendment. So after at the end of that period, then the letter conveyed that Councilmember Davis was in favor of revisiting the final environmental impact statement and was opposed to no longer pursuing the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Amendment or rezone. And so I have a copy of that here as well. So I will move to approve the minutes as amended, adding that additional sentence to the minutes.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gearing. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Yeah, thank you. I would like to ask for an additional amendment on the minutes. On final action AB 14-117, it has Councilmember Cuddeback moved to authorize and also second the motion. I don't recall who was the second, who was actually the motion maker, but...
I like to think I can do it all.
Yeah.
But.
Thank you. I can consult the audio and make
the
sure.
Tape.
I
think it says that you were the second.
Yeah, you were the second.
Where?
Right.
The bottom of the paragraph says that you were the second.
I'm looking right here online.
So the indented paragraph that starts with Councilmember Cuddeback moved?
Yeah, AB 14.
At the very end of
final
that
final action.
Motion.
It says the second was by Councilmember Cuddeback as well as the first.
Yeah.
You want to amend that to change it to Rasmussen?
I was looking at the wrong paragraph. I don't know.
Do we know?
We'll check the minutes and make sure.
Okay, well, we have one.
Thank you.
It's a very powerful.
Overachiever.
So what are we going to do with that?
So are you asking for that as amendment to my motion?
Yes.
It is a friendly amendment. And I just want to, I think I'm looking at the different thing, but essentially it's correcting the first and the second. Is that correct?
Correct.
And then I'll accept that if the second.
I'll accept.
Very good then.
Okay. So I have a first and I have a second. Any more discussion on the motion? Councilmember Cuddeback?
I apologize. I was in the restroom. Could you repeat what you were amending?
I was adding that. So if you look at new business number three, there's the paragraph that kind of describes what happened. And at the very end of one sentence says, Mayor Thomas read an email from Councilmember Davidson of the record, and then there's a period. Then there's a new paragraph that starts with the word discussion.
Okay.
If you're looking through the minutes, so it's
sure.
On page three of the minutes.
Yeah,
right there.
I got it.
So I'm just adding the sentence that I read. I was describing what the letter conveyed.
Okay.
Letter conveyed that Councilmember Davis was in favor of revising the final environmental impact statement and was opposed to no longer pursuing the East Monroe Comprehensive Plan Amendment and rezone. So I'm asking just to add that sentence at the end of that paragraph.
Sure. Got it.
And then Councilmember Rasmussen's amendment.
I got that. Thank you.
I'm just going to hand it over to Liz.
Okay. Okay, so we have a motion, we have a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Next item on the agenda that we have is under new business. It's AB 14-119, approval of resolution number 020.
Okay.
What's that?
I'm sorry, doesn't it say unfinished business the next time?
I'm sorry, yes, it does. Unfinished business. This is AB 14-122, East Monroe Options. Okay, Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Wanted to, again, I appreciate the mayor putting this back on the agenda this week so we can have an additional discussion. Again, we already have an action that's on the record, which is why it's not on there. The C, take no action at this time. Leaves everything as it is from last week. So if I did last week notice of a motion of intent to rescind, but again, there's a lot of compelling testimony this evening, and so I can go ahead and make that. Obviously, if it doesn't pass, then we're done for the evening. We just move on to the rest of the business. Again, not taken lightly. This is a this needs to be a council action, and certainly the mayor's prerogative to break a tie. But it became a mayoral action rather than a council action. And Councilmember Gamble, of course, weighed in and voted in favor of going with option C. So I want to make sure that's again noted for tonight. But this really does need to be a council action, as important as it is, as much community interest is there that there is, a community concern. And so that's why I felt it was very important, not doing this lightly. But it really needs to be a council decision, given that on the record last week we had a number of people who we had three who were in favor, three who were not, and then we had a letter from Councilmember Davis, which was actually a majority moving in a different direction. Again, compelled to at least consider rescinding at that point. So I'm going to go ahead and make a motion, and if it fails, then we move on the rest of the agenda this evening, and if not, then we can have some further discussion. So with that, I do move to rescind the motion adopted on September 16, 2014, Agenda Bill AB 14-118.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion? Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd like to ask for an executive session for the purposes of actual litigation.
Okay. We can take an executive session for actual litigation, and that would be a different citation.
It would be the same.
It would be the same?
Yeah.
Huh. Thank you. So this is pursuant to RCW 42.30.110, subsection 1, subsection little I, subsection little I. And for about how many minutes, Councilmember Hanford?
Probably start with 10.
With 10. Okay. And what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and leave the room since there are so many of you here tonight.
No.
So we are in executive session for 10 minutes, and there will be continued action to follow when we're out of executive session. Okay, we're back in session. There's a motion on the table to rescind the decision from last week. Councilmember Hanford.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank everyone for coming out tonight. We've already thanked you individually when you were done speaking, but I've said many times before that it's my desire to hear from the citizens of Monroe, and for you to be sitting here and to speak up your mind when we're weighing decisions and things like that. I appreciate several of the opinions shared tonight. For those attacks that were against me, I did not appreciate, but that just comes with the job. Tonight, as we continue forward here with our work, I'm thinking of the city and the city's best interest in mind. And I want to make sure that's clear on the record.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, any other discussion on the motion to rescind? Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. You know, simply put, when we made the motion and it passed last week, there are very valid reasons for it and very thoughtful reasons for it. And 1,000% I stand behind voting the way I did. And I truly feel it needs to stay that way. Will not vote in favor of rescinding that motion. Adamantly oppose it. Because moving forward on this, the way that we voted for and passed last week, is what we need to do. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilmember Rasmussen. Councilmember Camp.
Thank you, Mayor. I have to respectfully disagree. I believe that this is such an important decision, it really needs to be a council decision. And with all due respect to the mayor, a tiebreaker vote just doesn't work. We have we had Councilmember Davis's statement in support of another option, and I would feel much better having a full council. I wish Councilmember Gamble were here tonight, but I believe that we need to do this and rescind this and come up with a more complete and an actual majority vote council decision. Thank you.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Thank you. So I will not be voting in favor of the rescission tonight. I believe last week's vote was the most fiscally responsible vote. I believe it took the interests of the taxpayers in mind first and foremost. When I like to make these decisions, I like to look at the facts on the ground. So I'm just going to kind of go over some of the facts that I looked at in making this decision. You know, tonight we obviously had numerous residents come here and speak against rescission. I know you guys have received emails. I have received them. I received phone calls this week from residents saying, please do not rescind that vote. These are tax-paying residents who felt the urge to call, come here. We haven't had a meeting this busy since probably the marijuana issue. So that tells you something. The other thing is we've had one email in favor of the rezone, and it was from the landowner. The rest were not. I haven't had one taxpayer, one businessman, any other resident come forward and say, you guys need to do this. Just the landowner. We have currently spent over $120,000 on legal fees to date. That's just legal fees. That doesn't include any staff time and other, you know, things that we've spent on over the last 5 years that I have sat on council dealing with this issue. When I asked staff last week how this would affect the planning department and moving forward, because we did talk about this last week, we've been dealing with this for years, so when we think we have to get more and more information, you know, that's hard for me to imagine. We need more information than what we already have received from staff and others. Staff said they would have to designate a full-time planning person to this issue in order to comply. That's a full-time planning person. We don't have it. They also said that this, if we move forward and rescind this motion and take other action, that it would divert their time from other projects. I have sat up here and listened to council talk about how important Kelsey is, talk about how important downtown is, and by rescinding this motion and taking other action to comply, I don't see how those two marry, how you can say that we care about Kelsey and other projects when you're diverting staff time away from those projects to handle this one. The other, last week some comments came up from council when they voted in favor of, or voted against the motion last week. You're saying that you didn't want to set a precedent for other cities, that we needed to take the charge and follow this through. I saw no indication from other cities, no email, no communication saying, Monroe, you must do this because this sets a bad precedent for the rest of us cities. The only one who raised that issue was the landowner. The landowner sent us an email saying, you must follow through. This is the city must do this. We have done everything that the city has asked of us. When I read that email, there was quite a bit of entitlement that the city owed it to this landowner to continue paying taxpayer dollars to fight legal fees. That to me showed a lack of understanding that the way this is paid for is off taxpayers' backs. I'm a taxpayer. I've talked to many taxpayers. You heard them tonight. They don't want their hard-earned money going after bad money. It doesn't make sense to them. Most importantly, we talked about future costs, what this would cost us. We had the people who oppose this rezone come before us publicly and say they are going to continue to fight. That means more legal fees. We've heard from staff saying that to fulfill the supplemental EIS, we talked about this last week, they don't know what that's going to cost. Could be a lot of money, $100,000 plus. They said last week that they didn't know what the cost of that was going to be. We don't know what studies are necessary to comply. We don't know what the cost of that is going to be. So I believe by rescinding this motion, we are being fiscally irresponsible to the taxpayers, the people who elected us to make these decisions. So I hope that all of you, when you're thinking about this rescission, really look at the facts on the ground. You know, think of what's in the best interest of not one private landowner who asked when they first came before this council 5 years ago that they just wanted their day in court. They've had their day in court. It didn't go their way. When are we going to continue? Why are we going to continue to waste taxpayer money on letting them fight their day in court? They had it. So I believe that the only fiscally responsible choice that we have is to let last week's motion go forward. Thank you.
Are there any other comments from council? Okay, and I'm going to go ahead and say a few words. I did break the tie last week. I think it was important that a decision be rendered last week based on the information that I had at the time. My decision was based on I do have concerns about the policy of rezoning the property. The primary driver for my decision last week was our fiduciary responsibility to the taxpayers. We received an estimate earlier this year as to how much it was going to cost us to defend the decision, and the cost ended up being twice that. As of July this year, as I understand it, we have spent about $82,000 in legal fees. Not certain what they are today. Since then, August and part of September has gone by. And I'm concerned about that. I'm also concerned about delivering on economic development and being able to process permits, being able to process subdivision applications. And these are the things that weigh on my mind with what we're looking at. So those are some of the thoughts that I have reflecting on last week's decision. And that's pretty much it. Okay, there's a motion on the table. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, the motion passes. Did I hear Councilmember All right. Those in favor were Hanford, Camp, Davis, and Gehring. Those in opposition were Rasmussen and Cutaback. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I authorized the mayor to direct staff to gather additional scope and budget information on the costs of the SEPA work.
Second. I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Motion passes 4-2 with Hanford, Camp, Davis, and Gehring. Councilmember Gehring?
And then just one more. I move to authorize the mayor or staff to contact the Association of Washington Cities, informing them of the Growth Management Board's decision on this action, and specifically ask for their opinion regarding the impact this ruling may have on other cities that intend to process non-project rezones.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Camp. Before I ask for discussion, we did inquire on that last week. You can go ahead and take the vote, or we can just share what we learned.
We need a vote on that. AWC.
Thank you.
Different.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
That's not what I was saying.
Okay. Thank you. All right. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 4-2 along the same lines as the previous two votes. Okay, anything else?
I have nothing else tonight.
Okay. We're going to now move on to new business. We're going to take a break for members of the public.
You need to look at all of it and you guys. They don't care. They're doing the best for the city. They're pathetic.
Okay, Liz, are you ready to proceed? I think we're still recording. I don't think I need to ask. Okay, we're now going to move on to Councilmember Hanford.
I wanted to say that I'm looking forward to hearing from Councilmember Gamble and including him in our decision in the future.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Next item that we have on the agenda is new business. This is AB 14-119, approval of resolution number 020-2014, establishing change funds petty cash account for the Monroe Municipal Court. Diane, is this you?
Yes, this is just a housekeeping item. It's so you can authorize the two cashier tills for the municipal court that will start on January 1st.
Okay. Are there any questions? Councilmember Cutaback?
Diane, just that I'm sure you do, but just fiscal control policies on how that they're handled and accounted and for the petty cash. I mean, yes?
Yeah, it's the same.
For our tills.
Okay. We have four tills in existence.
You already do. Okay. All right. Thank you. Okay.
Okay. Councilmember Camp?
Thank you. I move to approve resolution number 022/2014, establishing a change funds petty cash account for the Monroe Municipal Court, appointing custodians, and establishing the amount of monies, therefore, and establishing an effective date.
Second.
Okay. I have a first from Councilmember Camp, a second from Councilmember Davis. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Next on is final action. This is AB 14-120, approval of ordinance number 011-2014, amending sign code regulations, final reading. Paul?
Thank you, Mayor. I do have something to pass out. My apologies for this late delivery, but we just received some additional suggestions from our attorney on some very minor tweaks to this second read on the sign code. I'll pass these around.
And Paul, before you continue, what is the due date that a final decision on this needs to be rendered, saying there's new information tonight?
The current interim regulations expire October 15th, I believe.
Okay. Is there any reason why council couldn't take, this is for final action, correct?
This is for second reading, final action.
Okay. Is there any reason why council couldn't take action on October 7th and still be within the expiration date of the existing interim regulations?
Well, that would not take effect until...
The 19th of October. Okay, so if council decides to wait, since we have new information here tonight, until October 7th, we would have the old regulations for about 5 days. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. So I just want to make sure I understand what the mayor just said. So if we would have the old regulations for 5 days, so if somebody puts a permit in that 5 days, there's a 5-day window where these don't apply. Is that correct?
That's right.
Is that what that would be? Even though we've already passed it, it's just, since it hasn't actually taken effect yet, somebody could put a permit in and do that. If we have the time, I'd love to at least talk about the new information, make sure we get that, because council may be comfortable doing it, but I'll leave the rest to you.
I can explain what's in here. The red line text is from your first reading that you reviewed for that decision. The latest changes are in blue, and on the front cover, you see it's on pages 3, 5, 33, et cetera, et cetera. These are, I call them housekeeping. There are really some very minor clarifications, tweaking some definitions. We took a couple sections of the code and moved it to a different section, mostly in enforcement, so that all the enforcement language was in one section, not in two or three sections. I don't believe there was anything in any substance that changes, that really changes this code in any significant way. Very minor changes, so I felt fairly comfortable bringing this forth for your consideration for a second reading. We can put this to October 7th and have that few days window where it would revert to the old code. That's the way we would see that. I don't see that as much of a problem.
Did you want to go over anything else with them? With the
I don't know if they need to go through each one specifically. Again, the red text is what you've already approved on first reading, and then the occasional pages with the blue are the most recent, mostly clarification. For example, there was one definition that was, I think, still the main in two different places, so we deleted one of the definitions. Those are the things that are included in these changes.
Sure, bud.
Nothing in the table has changed, which has all the regulations available to sign. Nothing has changed in that section, which is really the meat of this ordinance.
Right. So our attorney, Kristen, has some comments. Kristen?
Thank you. Just on the enforcement section, I did have two suggestions. One was under, so this is 1880-170-C, one. I think that we've already addressed summary removal of signs under B, so I actually don't think that section one is necessary. And then I would suggest making what is now labeled C2 as D and making this say any sign removed pursuant to this section may be returned, so that it's not just relating to illegal signs. So, and I apologize for that late change.
This is her first look at this evening also.
Councilmember Gehring?
Thank you, Mayor. Paul, as I'm looking through, most of the blue is actually strike through, at least as I'm looking through here really quick. So it looks like billboard on page 3 of 50, number 13.
Right.
And essentially that one. And then the other, there's a couple on 1880-130, which is general provisions. There's the word R was added, the word exempt or not specifically regulated by this title. Again, just a clarification, like you said, on that one. Everything else seems to be strike through, except for the section that page 43. So there's only a couple big sections. So maybe on page 43 of 50, it's 1880.10C, where it talks about maintenance, repair, or removal. Since that's kind of a bigger chunk of blue, maybe you can talk about that real quick. Another one as well on the next page, but it's page 43 of 50, it's 1880.1, Well, the 4 and the 5 are struck out, so I guess it's 0.10. C, maintenance, repair, or approval. So a bunch of blue text in there, if you wouldn't mind just describing that change real quick.
He's talking about maintenance, repair, or removal, and the added language was to clarify that when there is a maintenance or an issue with repair or removal, that it's clarified that it's a order of that the city can enforce this via Chapter 104 of the Municipal Code, and we can solve or abate those violations by that process and recover the costs of that abatement or that action in Chapter 104 from the applicant. Now, as that language was not there previously, so that tended to just give that a little more clarification and ability to get that abatement.
That's helpful. I appreciate that. The other one is the big one, which our attorney just mentioned. That's the one on page 47 to 50, so 18.80.170. And if we were to move, so there's a lot of text within section B, C, and then C1. So it looks like a lot of that was just added in this newest version. And then some strike through in B. So, and then there's a recommendation to make C2D.
So that was relocated from somewhere else.
So it was already in here, but it's just moved to the section.
Some of this has
very good. Okay, well, that's helpful as well.
But we can, carry this forward and make sure that we respond to your points on this last section. The enforcement section is fairly important, so we want to be sure and get that right.
I just wanted to understand what is actually new versus what was actually relocated. And it's all in blue, so I'm not sure. I just wasn't sure what was new versus what was relocated in this particular section. All right, that's it. Thanks.
Okay, Council, are you interested in adopting this tonight, or would you like to move this on to October 7th, which is our next regular meeting?
I'd be happy to come back.
Councilmember Cuddeback?
I'm comfortable with adopting it tonight. I'm not as comfortable with having the old ordinance for five days, and possibly not that it would happen, but I think if the rest of council's comfortable with these changes, most of them are minor and technical and moving things and rewording a little bit. I don't think the substance of what we've been looking at for the last, I don't know how long, year and a half, has changed. So I'll make a motion. Do I need to make a motion with the amendments that you suggested?
For the, yeah.
Okay. So I'll go ahead and adopt ordinance number 011-2014, an ordinance of the City of Monroe, Washington, relating to the display of signage, amending Chapter 18.80 MMC signs, repealing interim ordinance number 008-2014, providing for the severability and fixing a time when all the same shall become affected.
Second.
With the amendments suggested by the attorney tonight.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cuddeback, a second from Councilmember Gearing. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0.
All right. Make that work.
For you, Paul.
Okay, next item on the agenda is AB 14-121, approval of ordinance number 012-2014 regarding overweight vehicle parking permits. This is for final reading. Brad?
Brad gets
the second. The same thing we talked about last week, updating the overweight parking ordinance. Basically, it changed the size of vehicles, 15,000, and established some more criteria for visibility for parking on the street, and limits to one permit per property. Do you have any questions that you have to answer that?
So Gamble can drive his truck.
Chief.
Councilmember Hanford.
I'll move to adopt ordinance number 012-2014, amending sections 10.24.010 MMC, purpose 10.24.020, definitions, and 10.24.040 MMC, maximum weight limitation on streets not designated as truck routes, providing for severability and establishing effective date.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Hanford, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. We're now moving on to council member reports. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Had a great time at the football game last Friday night. A great community event. Looking forward to getting another home game on Friday. Monroe very victorious over the arch rival Snohomish, which was a lot of fun. Again, win or lose, we have so much community spirit, and it's just a blast to see all the people out there, the students, and just so much fun. So looking forward again. Hopefully another team that's had our number is Jackson this week. So, yeah, I also let everyone know that I wouldn't be here. I have an opportunity to travel outside the country, and I'll be traveling to Haiti next week, and looking forward to that and be able to do some humanitarian things relating to orphanages and wells and whatnot, and really looking forward to traveling with a group called Hope in Haiti. So I look forward to bringing back my findings and interesting anecdotes when I return. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Davis.
Nothing. Thank you.
Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. I also enjoyed the football game last Friday night from a different perspective, working the bratwurst stand. I had the best of both worlds, great food in front of me, and perfect view of the game. I got to see all the touchdowns. Perfect. It was just incredible. Fun night. Councilmember Gehring, I want to wish you safe travels and your journey.
Thank you.
Thank you for serving that community as well as you serve this one. And I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Rasmussen.
Thank you. Mike, awesome. The trailhead pole at 171st and the trail back there, thank you. Getting that replaced, that's perfect.
Can you clarify what that is? I'm sorry, I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, certainly. The trailhead off of 171st on...
the trail back behind.
Yeah. It was...
In between two housing developments, right? It
kind of goes. Yeah. Farlands separates the housing development, or the housing and the industrial park.
I gotcha.
Running group went out one morning, and we got followed by a vehicle onto the trail.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, the pole is back in place and fixed and looks fantastic, and hopefully no more vehicles following us. So.
Thank you.
I want to thank everyone for taking this time to thank folks for coming out. Very tough subject. I know, obviously, they've all left, but hopefully they hear my gratitude for coming out, for speaking up, for their emails, for their communication. For me, it is something I heard loud and clear. And certainly wished of a better outcome. But, this is one of the things that makes our jobs tough, but, that's what we're here to do. We're here to represent our citizens, the people that voted us. To those that are still here, thank you. Those that listen to audio or see in the paper, however they catch wind of it, thank you for coming out. Thank you for participating. And please continue to show your passion for your community and continue to participate, because we need more of that. I'd like to see more of that. I want more of it. So other than that, staff, all the work that you've put into this, phenomenal. Certainly appreciate it. All the work that you will continue to do on this, thank you. It's not easy, I know. The gratitude is certainly there as well. Other than that, learning how to sleep with 3-hour stretches is going well. That's all I have.
Thank you, Councilmember. Councilmember Cutterback.
So just a comment on the vote tonight, too. It is
tough decisions at times we have to make up here. I mean, some of them are a lot easier than others. And while I didn't agree with the vote tonight by any means, I do appreciate the discussion. I do appreciate people coming out. And even though I might be passionate and disagree with people, I still respect the people that I'm up here with. So I would, just on record, would like to say that I hope, as we continue this future discussion, which I hope we will, and of course I hope the decision will go differently, I am hoping that we have a certain amount of decorum in these chambers. And I apologize, even though I wasn't the one saying that. Those comments at the end of the meeting were unacceptable. People serve up here, and we're not always going to agree, but you know, I recently read the biography of Thomas Jefferson, and he talks about how in the start of democracy in our country, that it was really one of the most important things was to have decorum in the chambers, where spirited debate, because you can be passionate and debate your side, but you can do it with respect. So I hope as we continue this discussion that we continue to hold ourselves accountable for that, which I think we do. And we ask the citizens to hold to that same standard.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you, Councilmember Cutback. Your words are appreciated. I am looking forward to more discussion of the council. As I said earlier, with Councilmember Gamble coming back, I understand and I respect Mayor Thomas, you breaking the vote last week. That was completely your right, your prerogative. Mm-hmm. I understand your reasonings. If I was in your shoes, I might have done the same thing. But I really believe that we, as it's such a big issue as we saw tonight, it's something that needs to be decided with all of us. And I'm glad Councilmember Davis is back. I would definitely ask that looking forward, that this is scheduled on a day when the entire council is present. And I would say if over the next month we have updates to go over, I would ask that if one of the council members is going to be gone on that week, when we actually have definitive answers, I would be willing to meet any other night, any other time, so that we can have all council members present and get this done and get some collaboration together, all of us speaking out, and come to a group decision. And so I know we're all busy and every night's not available for me, but I can make it available for something as important as this. I know time is of the essence, and so I'd rather get to the bottom of this sooner than later. I know there's different, Councilmember Gearing's leaving town and those things they're all planned out ahead of time. I'm just saying I'm ready for an emergency meeting, special meeting, however it needs to be called, to get this taken care of. Football game was fun, and that's all I want to say.
Thank you, Councilmember. Mike, how are things in the Park Department?
It's pretty good. As Councilmember Rasmussen mentioned, yeah, we had a post up trail broken, and then we also had an act of vandalism on that same trail over by Stanton Meadows, and then we had some spray painting on the trail. Then we had, it was announced a couple weeks ago, we had vandalism. Someone drove through with the field and it was a few places. We had some of the auxiliary equipment that Needles had in the field last year. So we've been busy making repairs, and I appreciate the assistance we got from the police department, great cases investigating for us. Anyway, in other news, I sent out an email to all of you last Friday, and so I just want to echo that email that there's a TV pilot that's scheduled to be filmed here in Monroe. It'll be next Monday, September 29th. It's a film company that are producing a TV pilot for a show called The Man in the High Castle. It'll be aired next year, early 2015 on Amazon Prime. So the filming is going to center around the Lewis Street Bridge on 203 on Lewis Street there. It'll be transformed into a border checkpoint. So they'll be using props around it and the magic of movie visual effects, as they call it. So anyways, police, fire, parks, and public works, we've met with the location manager and to go over the filming areas, the traffic control, and other things related to that. And due to its location on 203, they have also needed to, and they've obtained approvals in coordination with Department of Transportation, Snohomish County Sheriff, and the State Fish and Wildlife. So on that day, between the hours on Monday, the September 29th, between the hours of 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., so it'll be after most of the morning commute, there will be intermittent traffic control stops for a maximum duration of 10 minutes at a time on 203 at the Lewis Street Bridge. So, and then also the parking lot area to the south of the restrooms in Lewis Street Park, that will be closed off that day from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. The Lewis Street boat launch will remain open so cars can drive down into it, but they'll exit west through the south parking lot at Scarborough Park and not out, so we'll have that open. There will also be their staging area for this filming on the Monday. We'll carry up the gravel lot at Scarborough Park. So Scarborough Park will remain open for the public use that day. So any and all filming will stop for emergency vehicle access through stage 203. And also we are providing proper notice to the public, as is our standard practice for local officials, will be signs and boards over the prominent legacy. So that's cool. And in other news, tomorrow we're hosting Scarborough Park middle school cross-country meet. Monroe School District, and I believe there's about at least three other school districts that will be there tomorrow. So
awesome.
That is all.
Thanks. Ben? Paul? Chief?
Well, all kinds of things tonight. First of all, this week I met with Officer Hand, Officer Block, and Officer Tucker. These three gentlemen were on their probation year. They satisfactorily completed that, and I told them that they would be off probation on their anniversary date, which is this week, I believe. So, congratulations to them. The next thing I have, I received an email here maybe a month ago from one of the council members, and mind you, I drug it in emails from council members, but I guess you could save your ink, but that doesn't happen anymore. But we are aware of an individual that is taking up residency as of today and Monroe in violation of our municipal code, and we have already taken action on it. So, if you get inquiries from citizens on this individual, it's a registered sex offender. We are complying with the municipal code, which requires us to make a notification as soon as possible. They have 30 days, and then we make another notification, and they have 30 additional days, then they have to be out. In this particular case, we are also, this is the second offender that's moved into that residence. We have until October 4th for that offender to leave, if this second offender is still there, we're going to take action against the land on property owner. And our municipal code says it's a violation, $100 a day fine, and we are going to pursue that. And for the offender, if they stay beyond 60 days on their notification, it's a $250 fine per day. So we're on it. And I should have told you last week that, I say your last name, I don't want to be too familiar here, but Rosie, that young lady.
Rosie Tatel.
Expressed a concern about the 522 and Highway 2 crossing there. We went out, I believe it was within a day, and it was been that Thursday, and one of our officers walked across that particular intersection, and we contacted, we walked across it 12 times, and we contacted 12 violators, and
contacted.
In other words, it wasn't one time you made it across, you yielded to it. So,
so there's an issue.
So it is an issue.
Yeah. You think? Yeah.
You know, we knew it was an issue, but our biggest problem is that the Department of Transportation handles that intersection, the signing on it, the design of it, and we are going to express our concerns to them to see if we can make some kind of modifications in some way. Signaling
of some kind to assist the pedestrians get through there. So I wanted to let you know that we were doing something, but I just forgot to convey that. So that's all I have. Thank you, Chief. Liz, we have a student representative that is still vacant, correct?
That is correct. Just to give you an update on the process. The application for this year was given to the principal at the end of last year, and I believe that they had it available to the students for the beginning of this year, and we had asked for a deadline of last Friday, so a couple weeks into the school year. I have heard from the ASB staff contact, who's been sort of the liaison right now for this item, and she said that a couple of people have picked up applications, but we received none on Friday. So at this point, the plan is to extend 2 weeks, so you'll see that on the extended agenda. Instead of confirming someone on October 7th, I've moved it to the 21st in hopes that in the next 2 weeks, we'll find someone or some two or et cetera. And I've also made contact to them to just ask if there's anything else that we can do, perhaps have a council member or a mayor or even myself go up there and meet with kids to give them an idea of what might be expected of them or what it might entail and answer questions. So I'm waiting to hear back from them. So that's just a brief update. We're trying. So if you know of anyone or want to spread that word, that would be great.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you, Liz. Mayor.
Yeah.
Just if I could add to that, I do have contact information with the Sultan student representatives. I was hoping that once we do have a connection, or once we do have a student representative here, we could put them in contact and they could work together and hopefully enhance the program. So I do have that information as well, if that will help. I could talk to you about that later.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you very much, by the way.
Thank you, Councilmember. All right, let's take a look at the agenda for next. Actually, it's not next week. There is not a meeting next week. It is a fifth Tuesday. Does anybody have any changes or any concerns about anything with the October 7th agenda? Okay. As for the extended agenda, if you could just make certain that you have marked down when you're absent and when you're not, and then does anybody have any comments? I'll work with Gene to get the SEPA information in here, pursuant to the motion from earlier tonight.
Thank you.
And
thank you, Mayor.
Any other questions or comments on the extended agenda? Okay. Brad. Oh, you're just waiting. Okay.
Oh, I just had something to say.
Okay. Oh, I skipped you.
Yes.
I am sorry. Please, staff report.
Yeah. Definitely
that
promotion we gave you earlier.
Not a promotion.
Trust me.
Just you know, 522 is closed at various times this weekend, Friday, and also Spring and 522, the new roundabouts will be closed. We're not quite sure how long, but at least
from 9 p.m. Friday night to sometime Saturday and maybe all the way till Monday. So, and then the weekend of the 3rd of October, Highway 203 Lewis Street will be closed from Friday to Monday for fixing the railroad crossing.
Thank you very much, Brad. Councilmember Cutterback.
On the City Council agenda for October 7th, we have the coffee stand and the marijuana business buffers discussion. Do we place, I know we put it on our, obviously our web page and it's on the agenda. Do we also put a notice like on our Facebook page that, hey, this item is, call it out specifically? I think we had a lot of citizen interest in the coffee stand regulation, if you remember, and in the marijuana kind of buffer discussion as a way to kind of pull it off the agenda and put it on Facebook to give people more notice. Do we do that currently on our Facebook?
No, we only use public hearings.
Can we do that? I guess if it takes a motion.
Yeah, we can put them on. We will put them on Facebook, yes.
I think because those particularly have shown interest in the community. Mm-hmm. Somebody asked
That's
me today
fine.
About the coffee stand one.
Yeah, we'll put them
okay.
on Facebook.
Thank you.
So we've got two council members missing that night, and those are two big items. Reflecting on the earlier conversation that you had regarding East Monroe, is there a desire to move one or both of those to another meeting night? Councilmember Hanford.
Can you clarify the marijuana business buffers discussion?
There was discussion about expanding the marijuana buffers to include private parks.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. And one other facility, I think. So is that a churches? Okay. So is that something that the council would like to have moved to October 14th or 21st?
You know, that specific issue, I think we were all in agreement that, or that was my take on our previous discussion, so I don't feel like we need to move that one myself.
Okay, and it is
That's
discussion, so it'll come back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we need to move either.
I don't think we need to move them.
Okay. Councilmember Gehring.
Thanks. Yeah, I won't be here, and I'm happy just to submit some discussion items. Submit an email with my thoughts, but I made those pretty clear last time. I was hoping to include private parks as well. So if that's there, then carry on as far as I'm concerned.
Okay. Any other actions for this evening? I have nothing else for the agenda, and we're coming up on 10. Councilmember Gehring.
I move to adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn and a second from Councilmember Camp. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. Have a great evening. Ben?
Good night, all.
Good night. Ben? Kristen, thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem.